When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So for this special episode of Sharing Plate to conclude season one, we've decided to bring two very special guests back, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Shelley.
Thanks, Lara. Hello, everybody. So I'm Shell from Shelley's Sizzling Odyssey.
And Saud.
Hi, Lara. I'm Saud from Saud Hot Tomatoes.
And today we're going to talk about celebration. Welcome back, Shelley and Saud. So Saud is very much at the beginning of his journey in the UK, and Shelley's been here for a long time. So I thought it would be a nice idea for everyone to bring a dish today to celebrate being together. The first dish that we've started with is something that I've prepared. It's pumpkin soup. It's a cold day today, and for me, this is a real winter warming soup. Mm. I grew this huge pumpkin, like it was bigger than my head, and I genuinely don't feel like I deserve this pumpkin because I didn't really do much to grow it. But anyway, in front of you is my winter pumpkin soup. So I hope you enjoy.
Loving it, thank you. Mm. Mm. It's great with the bread as well.
Yeah, and I thought just a little bit of pumpkin soup because we've got a feast coming behind.
What does dish remind you of?
So soup reminds me of my mum. So when I was growing up as a kid and there wasn't much money, my mum makes, so she's Scottish, and she makes this amazing lentil kind of broth. This pumpkin soup was really thick and stodgy and warming, and it just reminds me of when mum would make her lentil soup. It was always kind of just comfort. There's that cozy, we're going into winter. Mm. She doesn't make it enough. I need to actually remind her she needs to make it some more. Mm. So that's soup for me. It's my mum.
I don't know about you, but when you look back to these days, when you were young, and every day you come, you'll see the same food. Sometimes you go like, come on, you can't make something else. But now since you moved on and you got older, you can't wait. You actually wouldn't mind to have it every day.
Although I still don't want to see a frozen chicken Kiev ever again. Well, the pumpkin soup has been demolished. It was just, you know, it's an easy recipe, but...
Oh, it was perfect. Perfect. Loved it.
Absolutely. It's very earthy, but very homely, very wintry. It's lovely.
Excellent. Mm. Shell, with your chicken,
yep.
Shall I heat it up or shall we have it cold?
I think it's warm enough.
Is it literally come out,
yeah.
Should
we just go over
this one after our fingers, Shell?
Yeah,
100%. It looks amazing.
My kind of food, yep.
So we have now got a plate of delicious chicken in front of us. Shelley, can you explain your dish?
Of course. It's tandoori chicken. It looks a bit dry at the moment, but if my mum was cooking it, it would come straight out of the oven and it'd go straight on the side, and you'd have it. It's a celebratory dish because we'd have it with pulao, which is like pulao rice, and lamb curry, but you also have tandoori chicken as well with salad as well.
I love tandoori chicken. And I didn't realise how much I love tandoori chicken until I went to India. Right. Because I'd only ever really had the tandoori chicken that you get in the takeaways here. I'd never made it from scratch myself. And oh my goodness, when you make it from scratch, it's just delicious. Mm. Tell me what's gone into making this dish.
It's really easy. So you just buy a packet of tandoori spices already made. But I like to put a little bit of chilli in there. So then you kind of have, I squeeze half a lemon into the bowl with yogurt and the tandoori spices. I paste it and then I put the chicken in, really kind of work that around. And I put it in the fridge to marinate overnight. And then once I'm ready, chuck it in foil into the oven, cover it, bake it, and then take the foil off just to kind of reduce all the liquid. And that is it.
My mouth is watering. I can't wait to get stuck in.
That's the kind of recipe I need.
Like, it's easy. It's so easy.
Well, there you go.
Delicious.
100%.
Goodness. That's so tasty.
I like chili food. Mm. Like, I like chili food. Mm. I like the fact that you put some chili with it.
Mm-hmm. So what does this dish say to you, Shell?
I just think, you know, it just says togetherness. It's an autumn evening and it's cold and dark out there already, but the four of us are warm with the connections that we're making and the food that's in front of us and sharing plates. We're living the sharing plates
moment. We are sharing plates. You know,
food is integral in our family and it's what brings us together and it's what keeps us together, do you know? And we're living that right here. I love it.
And Saud, what do you create as togetherness now in this country?
Being here for 3 years, I always try to look to the positive side. Yes, I was in a difficult situation, but if I wasn't in that situation, I wouldn't have met the cooking club, Khalil, Bawaz, the guys. I would have never meet these kind of people, wonderful individuals. Like today with you, sir. Mm. I actually enjoy talking to you, the way you see things, the way... Like, the most thing I admire about you is the discipline you have, I'll be honest with you. Because I never had that discipline, not in our culture. The way you talk, the way you... It's different. Like, you can see the different culture in everywhere. And that's why I'm thankful, thankfully. Mm-hmm. New family, everywhere.
It's not about your biological family, blood family. It's about this is a family. I just honestly 100% believe in that. And I refer to people as my extended family, but they're part of our tribe. In my tribe, we have every different colour and creed, and so that we have a different lens on things. So the food that we eat is very different and it's diverse, it's colourful. And I just 100% so in awe of you and your attitude around family that gives me hope, you know, because actually not everybody has that attitude. They don't, because they feel actually secure and safe if they're around people that look like them and talk like them. And actually what we do then is we miss out on the different colours and the different experiences, do you know? So you're 100% right.
Every experience, either you like it or not. For example, a month ago, I think, or a month and a half, somewhere, somehow, the cooking club have convinced me to go to a place called Keswick.
Keswick,
okay. In the Lake District.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how they convinced me. I don't know what I was thinking about to agree to go there. And they told me, to be honest, they told me, we're going there to climb a mountain.
It's going to be great, bro.
Not my thing, no. That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I know my limit. Mm. I know what I can and I can't do. Hiking a mountain? No. And I know that, but because they're my family.
Right.
And they asked me.
Right. So you're open and receptive and you're like, okay.
I'll go.
I love that.
I was struggling. There is actually a video of one of our friends carrying me on his back. That's how struggling I was.
Oh, wow, really?
And I know that will happen, but in my mind, I was like, they ask you, you can't say no.
No,
you have to take the bullet. Mm-mm. Done. Mm-mm. We're going.
But also, you were struggling. So Eduardo put you on his back. That's the fact, that is our family, right?
Wow.
It's quite funny. Khalil, who was in the Syrian army, was first up. He was pretty much running up that mountain.
More salad?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. So, Saud, we've got a celebration dish that's come from you. Do you want to tell us why we have a celebration dish?
Yeah, thankfully I've been granted refugee status. Finally, I can live my life. I can take that step forward. Like, your life been on pause for 2.5 years. 2.5 years. I studied, but you haven't contributed anything towards the people you care about lives. I couldn't help families. I couldn't help, like, if thankfully there wasn't any trouble, but when you think about it, what if something happened to the family? What if something happened to someone you care about? You literally has nothing to do. You can just sit there and watch them. That's it. Thankfully, it's gone. I can work, I can support, I can bring this, I can do that. There is something in your hand you can do to change something coming. Before, you can't work, you can't travel, you can't support no one. Even if you want to support yourself, you can't support yourself. You just sit and wait. How long? Just wait. It's like lottery, you know? Mm. That's it. But now, finally happened.
Shelley, you've been on your journey as a refugee in this country for a lot longer than Saud has. Is there any advice that you'd give him?
I think the only advice I'd give you is what you're already doing, which is have an open eye, be receptive, really lean into diversity. We're very lucky that we've got a melting pot in London. Lean into that, you know, be open for all the colours and the vibrancy that it brings without losing your core self. I think it's very, very important to make that statement. I think it's important to compromise, but to what extent, right? You've got your core identity. Don't give it up for anybody, bro. That's all I would say, honestly. And then touch other people. You know, you've got a lot of lived experience. You've got a lot to give. Make sure that you bring people with you and establish what your meaning is in all of this.
Was the system the same way when you came?
I don't know the ins and outs, to be honest. The detail, right? All I knew is that when my mum then filed for divorce from my dad, because social care took my mum away from my dad and took us away from my dad and put us in a refuge because my mum's life was in danger because of domestic violence. There was a couple of years where we didn't know what was happening and we had to go to our MP, we had to go to school, everywhere to get people to really push for us to get status to remain. But those 2-3 years were really uncertain for us because if we were not given permission to stay, we would have had to go back to Bangladesh and my dad was waiting for us. He'd made it very clear that he's going to be there for us to take us and then really cause harm. So as a child, as a teenager, reading the letter from the Home Office to say that we've been given permission to remain and we'll be getting a British passport, it was just unbelievable. It really was, you know. So I'll never take that for granted, to be honest. Those 2-3 years of living with such uncertainty and this fear of if it didn't go our way, what it would mean to us was really hard. And I guess that's why I don't sit well with rejection. I don't sit well with unknown and uncertainty. I don't sit well with not having the control of things. So I need to kind of shape things and hold things, you know. You need a secure base as a child. Yeah. Didn't have that secure base as a child in any shape or form. So it's, yeah.
Obviously, you've got a house full of children now, and do you ever think, wow, you guys have got it easy compared to how I had it? And
oh, all when the time, you know. Laura, all the time, and I kind of remind them as well. You know, because, like, you know, when you've got children dictating what they're going to eat or what they're not going to eat, and you've got children that's talking about playing food with food on their plate, right? And then chucking it in the bin, that hurts me, man, seriously. And I kind of say to him, you know, you're very lucky that you're in a privileged position where you can actually throw food away, but that's not something we do. Like, my mum, seriously, if there was a grain of rice that fell on the floor, she'd pick it up, yeah. You know, because she knew the worth of a grain of rice. Whereas now, because we're such privileged, we don't.
Is it my dish now?
Wow, Saud, you have outdone yourself. What is it?
The kabsa is like a very famous quick thing to eat in Saudi. That's why you see, like, it's rice, chicken. It's very quick. We'll eat it literally every 2 days, 3 days. Either with your boys, either in the house, either when you go out and you want something quick to eat, like, let's get kabsa.
That's it. Chicken rice, some potato with it.
I'm ready, honestly. That looks amazing.
Hopefully you like it. Hopefully you're going to enjoy it.
It smells incredible. So in front of me, it's a huge dish. Loads of rice, potatoes, and amazing chicken, which has all been cooked on the bone, but looks like it's falling apart now. But the colour, it's the colours, isn't it, Shell, of like all of the spices that you can see, and you can smell the waft.
All of this wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for the book. You were actually my first, like, you have to cook.
The cookbook for the man with one saucepan. Right, Shell, I'm giving you first. Tell me when on the rice.
I'm hungry, okay?
It's coming, don't you worry.
It's the first time.
Some of my friends who actually came and visit me from Saudi Arabia, we were born together, they're Saudis, and they came to visit me here. One of them was like, let's cook. And I was like, you know, I don't cook.
When you ate that for the first time, what memories did it bring out in you, the taste?
Just, you're going to play football, you're coming back. In Saudi, the culture was different. Like, the boys would, I don't know if I can, but the boys would be the boys. Like, it's always the same thing we're going to do. Like, we're going to meet the guys, we're going to go play football. We will always do the same thing. We wouldn't change it. The chili is hot, just watch out.
Yes, sir, do you know that my tolerance to chili?
I hope you like it, guys.
Thank you, Paul.
So we've been through my pumpkin soup, which started us off, Shelley's delicious tandoori chicken, of which I'm going to be going back for more in a minute, and Saud's lovely kabsa. I've got to say, this last dish that I've put in front of us is a bit of a cheat, really, because none of us around this table made it. But this has all been made by his mum in Saudi, in Jeddah. And Laura, our producer, who's also sat around this table this evening, was working in Saudi a few weeks ago, and she went to visit Saud's family, which we all do when we're in Saudi. And Laura was handed a bag to bring back for Saud with some clothes and a ring. And then she was also handed a bag to bring for me, which is all of this delicious food you see in front of us. So, Saud, do you want to talk us through what's on the table?
I don't know why you're asking me, because I didn't brought you this. I was surprised to see it there. They didn't send me nothing. I just found out that they send you this. I'm going to have a conversation with them later.
So it's delicious biscuits that Mum's baked. And then the mamoul, do you want to explain what the mamoul is?
Well, the mamoul is basically dates with, what do you call it?
Pastry.
Pastry.
So it's kind of chopped up dates wrapped in pastry. And Saud's mum makes all of these.
I just love it. It's just the taste from the past.
It's basically Saud's mum packaging up a lot of love and sending it back. But
no, not for me, for you.
It looks extremely seasonal. What do you call these?
Mamoul.
To me, they look like mince pies, little mince pies.
They do look like mince pies. Yeah. They kind of taste a bit like them as well.
Extremely seasonal. I love it.
So basically, after a long day out at work, you just come back home, you eat, you chill. Like what I used to do, like I chill with my mom, we talk a little bit, we'll have the mamoul, she'll bring the mamoul. Usually you have the chai, the mamoul, the biscuit, and you just watch the TV, smoke some shisha, have a conversation of the whole day, what happened, what's going on.
So we've talked our way through four dishes now, with the help of Saud's mum in Saudi sending some. And we've talked about celebration, what celebration kind of means. It'd be good to talk to each of you about what your celebrations are.
I think it's a great question. And I just want to say, honestly, I've loved the actual plates that you've put the food on, right? They've really, framed it so well.
So the plates all have a story in my house, right? Because everywhere I travel, I bring plates home.
Okay. So next podcast,
this is, yeah, this is from Mexico. The big watermelon dish that the kabsa sat on was from Greece. the bowls that we were eating from were also from Mexico. The salad bowl was from Istanbul.
Okay.
And I've got a lot of other dishes from Tunisia there as well. So when I travel, the memories come back with the plates. And then the food has the memories as well. So thank you for noticing that.
I had to. It just blew me away. I think for me, like celebration, we've got one coming up. It's my foster son's 13th birthday. It's a big milestone birthday. We're treating it as a rite of passage. And so we've got some men coming into his life, some men he already knows that he's known for the last year, that he admires and respects. So they're coming into house and they're going to be sharing some wisdom with him. And then we're going to eat. We're going to have curry goat because he's half Jamaican, half Greek Cypriot. We'll cook some fish and some ackee and salt fish and some jerk lentils and with some plantain. So that's a big thing that's happening in the celebration for him. Then, you know, funny enough, I've got my 55th birthday coming up in December, end of December. And again, it's going to be food used there to celebrate. We're not too sure what we're doing with it just yet, but I know there's going to be food, definitely food of my choice. And it's not food that I'm going to cook.
Excellent. Yeah. Even better. Shell's going to get a night off.
I'm just going to say if tandoori will make me look like you on 55th. Yeah. But every day. Trust me, you can count on me, tandoori, chicken every day.
That and half marathons and marathons.
What?
So you got to run marathons and half marathons.
Oh, no.
Shelly's really fit too. You know that mountain you were complaining about climbing?
No.
Kilimanjaro. I've climbed Kilimanjaro.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would not work for me.
It's a five-day one.
How about you, Saud? Celebration. What are the celebrations look like in your life?
I got my papers. Hopefully I'll celebrate soon, seeing my family.
And what does that celebration look like with your family? Is there food involved?
Oh, definitely. I'm going to make my mom cook. Like, for example, when my brother go there to see them, the first day he come, he has, like, to bring some meal from outside, dinner from outside. When I go there, nah, you're cooking. No, mom, you're cooking.
Mom's in the kitchen.
Yeah, she has to.
It's a different flavor, right?
Exactly. I love my mom, but I miss her cooking.
Yeah.
Like, the taste is different. It's the same. My sister can do the same thing, like, step by step. It just tastes different.
My mom would have been gone 15 years in March next year. And honestly, bro, make the most of mum and her cooking. It's a different cooking altogether. You could cook exactly the same as her,
but
it's a different thing when it's your mum cooked it and serves it. It's different, bro.
What does celebration with your mum look like, Shell?
So celebration with my mum would actually, like, mum went crazy, you know, like she would have different dishes. She'd be like really cooking with love. There's love in her recipe. There's love in her creation. And it's just, that's just it. The intention was behind that was that Shell's going to come, he's going to eat and other children are going to come and eat. And it's just like, I've got to do this. You know, I've got to show up. She showed up. I loved it, honestly.
Showed up on the table.
Yeah, man.
A table full of food.
Yeah.
But you never left hungry.
No, I never did. Even my daughter now, who's in Australia, talks about her grandma's cooking. Oh, do you know? That's deep, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something really connected there.
Yeah, because that's what we used to do every Wednesday night. We used to go and see my mum. Like, there's a language barrier. My mum spoke broken English, right? Whereas my daughter spoke English. There was no Bengali in there, right? But all she knows is that her grandma loved her because the great way her grandma would kind of present food to her and so forth. You know, and we did that religiously every Wednesday night. I'd take her to gymnastics and then we'd come home to my mum, eat, sit.
Yeah, amazing. Do you think these meals taste different depending on where you're eating them?
I think so.
I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely. It doesn't mean it. Like the kebsa taste less tasteful, but if my mum made it, it's definitely better.
And hopefully, Saud, you'll get home to see your family at some point in the not too distant future.
Hopefully, soon. Stay positive.
Sharing Plate is a What's Where Media production and is presented by Lara Bishop. Thank you for listening.
If you've enjoyed listening to Sharing Plates, please help us out. Like it, follow us, share it, and tell a friend.